Hello, my name is Frank Xiao. I'm new faculty of Civil Engineering at the University of North Dakota. I think I'm the only person speaker today coming from Civil Engineering. But trust me, I'm not going to talk about bridges, buildings, traffic, and road. I'm going to talk about absorption herbicides on biochar. Why is it relevant? Well, herbicide transport to groundwater and surface water is a big concern in this country, and providing safe drinking water is one major task of our environmental engineers. So this talk, I want to acknowledge my postdoc supervisor, Dr. Joe Picanetto, and biochar. You guys have heard a lot about biochar. It's an amazing thing. It's made from biomass waste. During pyrolysis at temperature from usually from 300 to 700 degrees centigrade in the absence of oxygen. And here we go. Biochar is usually porous. It has micropores, mesopores, and macropores, and also has many function groups on it, the carbs group and oxygen group. And the studies on biochar has been increasing dramatically since the past 10 years. The many reasons behind this, biochar can increase agricultural productivity, can reduce the bioavailability and mobility of soil contaminants, and can also, as said, can reduce the emission of greenhouse gases from soil. And this study was concerned using biochar as soil amendment to reduce the leaching and transport herbicides to groundwater and surface runoff. And in this study published in Water Research with Dr. Joe Picanetto, we found two very interesting things, unexpected things. Let me walk through you guys through these group figures. The x-axis is the absorption concentration of this herbicide, five herbicides, and also three industrial compounds, quinoline, pyridine, diazine. And we studied absorption of these compounds on graphite, as well as on biochar. The first thing you can see from these figures, the absorption of graphite, on graphite for triazin, for promethine, simazine, is higher than biochar. It's unexpected, because graphite is non-porous. It has very low, much lower surface area than biochar, 10 times lower than biochar. But here we have observed a higher absorption on graphite, but lower absorption on biochar. And there's another interesting observation. If comparing absorption amitriptyline to pyridine, pyridine is very simple. Let me point to this point here. A very simple organic compound. It's very hydrophilic, miserable with water. And amitriptyline has a bumpy structure, very hydrophobic. But comparing the absorption amitriptyline to pyridine, the absorption amitriptyline on biochar is lower than pyridine. It doesn't make sense, because amitriptyline is more hydrophobic, but absorption is lower than pyridine. Pyridine is miserable with water, but higher absorption than amitriptyline. I believe it had to do with the steric effects. The literature talk about a lot about driving forces, but there should be another term in the free energy expression, that would be steric effects. So the amitriptyline has much bigger than pyridine. That's why I believe it's due to steric effects, it cannot diffuse into the pores of biochar, causing the decreasing absorption compared to pyridine. Similarly, the difference between the higher absorption of graphite than biochar is simply because this amitriptyline molecules cannot get into the pores of biochar, even though it's available for nitrogen and carbon dioxide, as we use for mere porosity in surface area. So yes, this is, you look at the absorption literature, maybe 10,000 papers on driving forces, but not mainly talking about steric effects. After seeing this result, and actually Joe's idea, he has this idea to tailor the biochar by a very simple process called PPL treatment. So simply, we just, at the end of pyrolysis step, we just open the door of the furnace. So, and let the air get into the furnace. So the air is going to oxidize some tars, remove the tars from biochar, and generate some more surface carbonyl groups on the char. Also can release and increase the surface area. Let me show you this titration results. This figure, left bottom, showing as the PBO treatment increases from 0 minutes to 40 minutes, more carboxyl group are generated on the surface. And the same potential measurements also show the biochar becomes more negative charged. And we believe this carboxyl group on the surface is going to have some specific interactions with certain herbicides with carboxyl groups on it. I'll show you later. Another here. Hydrogen bonding. We all know hydrogen bonding. Ordinary hydrogen bonding is association between hydrogen donor acceptor. The length is larger than 0.6 or 26 nanometers, and the strength is 4 to 17 kilojoules or more. But once the pK difference between the donor and the acceptor becomes smaller, this bond essentially changes to a semi-covalent bond. It's called low barrier hydrogen bond. The length, the difference, this distance becomes much smaller, shorter, so the bond becomes stronger. And the strength can be over 50 kilojoules or more, so essentially semi-covalent bond. There's several cases that are relevant in these areas. One is negative charge, a cis hydrogen bond, that will be association surface carboxyl group with another carboxyl group, like herbicides. On herbicides, another important case is positive negative charge cis hydrogen bond. There's association surface carboxyl group with amine group. Okay, and this is the one hypothesis why we do the PBO treatment to increase substrate carboxyl group, hopefully conforming the low barrier hydrogen bond with herbicides, increasing absorption. Another hypothesis is that by this PBO treatment, we are going to increase the substrate area, and most importantly, we're going to release, increase the pore volume in the middle pore range. And as you can see, this sixth figure shows you the pore volume distribution. Biochar, raw biochar and biochar treated by this PPO post-pyrolysis air oxidation from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 40 minutes. As you can see, at the and for your biochar, there's still nearly nothing in the mesopore range, mostly micropores. But once the PPO receiving this treatment, we started to saw some mesopores in the biochars. Also, the pore volume also increases. And this is a surface area measurement by nitrogen, and basically it's measuring mesopore surface area increased dramatically after the PPO treatment. Also carbon dioxide approachable surface area, that's a micropore volume, also increases. And to test our two hypotheses, we formed a test data set containing two group compounds. Group one compounds with pK, have pK in the range from 3 to 5. Theoretically, they can form the low barrier hydrogen bond with a substrate carboxyl group on the biochar. The other group of compounds, they are either neutral compounds or pK less than 2, they cannot form the low barrier hydrogen bond because it's not close to the surface carboxyl group pK. That would be 3 to 5 in that range. So here's the results of absorption for group 1 compounds. The absorption dramatically increases after we treat the biochar. This is raw biochar. After treat the biochar for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 40 minutes by the PPO treatment, see the absorption increased by a factor of 100. And once we normalize the absorption by surface area, interestingly, we still find an increase in absorption from the raw biochar to the treated biochar, suggesting this increase in absorption is not simply due to the increase in surface area. There's some specific interactions contributing to the increase in absorption, which is consistent with the hypothesis about the low barrier hydrogen bond. And group 2 compounds, we still found the neutral compounds, still found that there's increase in absorption after the PPO treatment on the biochar. And but once we normalize absorption by the surface area, the increase is very slow compared to the group 1 compounds I showed you earlier, suggesting for these compounds, most reason for the increase in absorption, just increasing surface area and pore volume of the biochar by this PPO treatment. Most interestingly, for the organic acid, these three organic acids in group 1 and one neutral compounds in group 2, as you can see, as PPO treatment increases, the zero absorption on the biochar also increases. But once we normalize the absorption by surface area, We still find increased absorption on the biochar receiving this PPP treatment, but not so for the neutral compounds. This is especially interesting because, as I showed earlier, the biochar surface becomes more negatively charged. There should be strong electrostatic repulsion between the biochar surface and this organic acid. This then at pH is 7.4, the pK smaller than 5. But instead of seeing decreasing absorption, but we observe increasing absorption, suggesting this low barrier hydrogen bond can overcome the non-favorable static repulsion between the organic acid and the biochar surface. As this figure showed earlier, the biochar become more negative charged after receiving the PPO treatment, and supposedly there should be strong electrostatic repulsion with the organic acid, but here we saw an increase in absorption. It's a very interesting result. And we did some modeling. I don't want to overwhelm with these models, but I want to go directly to here. So this, the solid black line represent the observed free energy, absorption free energy. And this will calculate free energy corresponding to electrostatic repulsion. The difference is the free energy, we believe, due to the low barrier hydrogen bond. This free energy, absorption free energy, for increases after the PPO or carboxyl group contents increasing on the surface by this PPO treatment. So in this talk, I share with you our results, a way to tailor the biochar to increase in the absorption and hole size on the biochar. And because the biochar, once applied to the agricultural soil, the first thing they're going to interact with is herbicides. And there are two hypotheses about this process. One is increasing the surface area by this PPO treatment, which can work for all basically all organic compounds. More surface area, more absorption. That's a concept we know from our high school. And the second hypothesis is the low barrier hydrogen bond that is going to increase in absorption from some specific type of herbicides, which can form the low barrier hydrogen bond with surface carboxyl group. So in the end, I want to acknowledge the funding agency, NSF, and my postdoc supervisor, Dr. Joe Picanello. This work was done and was at Connecticut Agriculture Experiment Station. I was spent there for 2.5 years. I just hired by the UND, University of North Dakota, for this August. Okay, this is the end of my talk.